Often times I don't see myself as a teacher. I always put myself as an opportunity to learn. So I want to thank God for this opportunity. And I want to pray that it's going to be another moment for improvement and encouragement for ourselves. In Jesus' name. Okay. What we'll be encouraging ourselves with today is nothing but what we know. The lesson of this morning gave me a lot of consolation because, you see, there's so many wonderful things that we teach ourselves every day. But the downside is most of these things we don't put it into practice. If only we could express the magnitude of love in our discussion this morning, in our lives, I believe we'll be a better Christian. But for the sake of this sermon, I don't want it to be all by myself. I would like us to share our knowledge. So from time to time, I might ask you, what do you think? Because it's not just about coming here to learn, to listen without taking anything away. We can go to church, we can read the Bible, but it doesn't have any reflection in your life or in my life, it will have no impact. Lose not your reward. Do we have any reward as Christians? Have you ever wondered, my coming to church, does it have any special purpose? But before we go ahead, I'd like us to read Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 13.
Let us lay aside every weight or sin that can easily beset us. Verse 2, he said, looking up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Oftentimes, as Christians, this is a question that we ask ourselves: what should I do? He hates me. Why should I have to be good to him? We have people who don't like us. We have people who did wrong for us. Why should I continue to be good? Do I have any reward for being a Christian? Do I have any reward for doing good? Do I have any reward for obeying God? So the purpose of this sermon is to remind us so that we don't draw back, because there is a reward that is waiting for us. The Bible told us that for the joy that was set before him, endure the cross, despising shame. Oftentimes, the knowledge of the right thing is not our problem as Christians, but the problem is along the way we draw back. And that is where the problem is. So God wants us to endure to the end so that we can receive that glorious reward which he has laid aside for us. In our secular life, we have reward for going to work. We all go to work, most of us, every day. If you choose not to go to work one day, do you think your salary will be taken away? Miranda, if I decide that I won't go to work, out of my 5 days a week, I want to go 3 times. At the end of the month, my salary will be taken out, right? The same way, when you decide that I'm not going to do it at this time, at this point in time, I'm fed up. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to do this good thing that I know is right. Do you think you will not get the punishment? As much as in our normal world, there are consequences for doing wrong. The same way, when we're supposed to love, when we're supposed to hold on a little more, and we draw back, there are consequences. Let's read the book of Hebrews 12, 15 to 17. That's in
15 reads, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any roots of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with fear.
I advise you to write this passage down so that you can read it again. If you start from 14, he said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Then 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many defile. Let there be fornicators of profane person as Esau, who for the morsel of meat sold his birthright. That is not even the most painful part. 17. For ye know how after, when you would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully. With what? the consolation and fulfillment that God has made for us. Look at Esau. For the joy of the moment, he lost it. He wished it. He sought it. The Bible told us carefully, with tears, but he could not get it back. There is a need for us as Christians to be very careful so that what we have owned, after we have consecrated ourselves, called ourselves the name of Christian, and never behave like the people of the world, at the end of time, lose that reward. How shameful, how pitiable, how sad will it be. Many times, we forget. That is why we draw back. We forget what is our reward. What is exactly that is at stake for us as Christians? The Bible told us we have an inheritance of eternal life. The Bible told us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, that we'll never forget that godliness, that bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promises of life that is and life that is to come. As Christians, God promises us peace. He promises us joy. He gave us hope. The Bible said, hope is the substance of things hoped for. I remember when the Titanic film came out. If you have seen the film before, and people waited when the boat grave, the ship grave, and they were waiting for rescue. According to the narrator, he said it was hopeless hope. They were waiting, but the rescue never came. We as Christians, we have hope. The Bible calls it an anchor that is sure to come. The book of James describes, he said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever things we ask, we have that confidence. But because of the challenges or trials or situation that we go through, we forget that we have hope that is sure and steadfast. If somebody promised you, Sister Lydia, tomorrow I will give you £10,000. Yes, I know you have a job. You might likely not go to work tomorrow. Yeah. Am I wrong? £10,000, man. How long will I, how many months will I take to? I thought, you understand? And you know it's sure. Do you understand? You will be happy. In fact, if your last couple, your last penny, what you have, you can easily to celebrate because you know that the promise is sure. Do you understand? So, but as Christians, we often forget that there is a magnitude of promises and blessings that God has promised us, and we draw back and lose all the grace. Sometimes we get frustrated for being good. Sometimes we get fed up, like the scenario that we are painting this morning about parents and the children. It got to a point that I can't take this no more. This is the point where our Christianity is called to question. I remember one of the sermons of Jesus while he was preaching. He said, if you greet people, if you do good to good people, what reward do you have? My brother and my sisters, if your love depends on the people that love you, you don't love my brothers. That's not love. Love is proven when it is difficult. When it's not, you can't let it go. When imagine what Jesus said. When somebody slap your right face, you turn this. It looks like being stupid. That is love. Because haven't dedicated ourselves, haven't done all of this, and at the end of the day, because of these little things, we lose the crowd or we lose the reward. Imagine, people know you in your workplace as a Christian. People know that you are a good person. And one day, somebody push you to the point where you lose it. And you bust out and let it all loose. What do you think people will say? Imagine, Christian, I can't even believe it. Would they ever remember all the good days that you have behaved yourself? So that is the reason why we have to be very careful. The book of Luke chapter 9 verse 62. Jesus, because Jesus statement to his disciples, he said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and look back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Sometimes when we are Christian, we look at the plow. Have you been? I'm still out there. I would have made a lot of money. I would have enjoyed myself. I would have had a good life. But Jesus reminded us here that no man that puts his hand on the plow, looking back, desires the kingdom of God. I am often personally guilty of this, and that is one of the reasons I bring out and talking about it. Because oftentimes I'm privileged to grow up in a Christian home, and I know the multitude of blessings I've had, what is right. But I get to a point when I think I can't take it no more. Now I need to act. I just have to say it. The way it is. Put this many fish on the table. I remember when I had this in my former working environment. And that moment, I lose it all. All my good work. So, what about you? Are you in that kind of situation? When you've always been good, but one day, and impression lasts for long. Some people may never know you before. It could be that day of misbehavior that they see you and they take you off. And you could also meet somebody leave the church. For example, you've been a good Christian all these years, and one day you misbehave. Someone says, after all, look at Brother Paul. No, just how can you? I don't want to come back to church again. How can you? Because he did something wrong. So we have to be careful because there is a reward. Or look at Brother Dotun. How can you do such a thing? We are expected to endure or to the end of our life. That is where the reward is. Book of James chapter 1 verse 1 to verse 2 to 3. James 1:2-3.
James 1:2 reads, my brethren, count it all but joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect works, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Yeah, he said, knowing it that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work. There is a work, because if you can't complete the journey of being patient, we might lose the reward. That's why we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Hebrews 11:13-16. We don't have to look back to our former life. We don't have to look back and count the gains of sin. Let's take Hebrews 11:13
reads, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they are assured of them, embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Verse 14, he says, for they that are such declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country when they came from, if you keep thinking about your former life or what you could have been, the Bible says, they probably would have had an opportunity to return. Once we say goodbye, we don't need to look back into the world. I could have been this, I could have been that. We have to keep looking at the promise that God has made for us. Let's take a few examples of people who lost their reward. In the book of Numbers chapter 14, verse 26 to 35, the Bible talks about the children of Israel, how they left, God delivered them from the land of slavery. And eventually, because of their disobedience, God told them, none of you will get your promised land, but two. They lost the promised land. We can do a quick reading. Numbers chapter 14. From verse 26.
And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in and shall know the land which you have despised.
That's okay. Thank you. You see, the children of Israel haven't been delivered, haven't received the promise, yet a lot of them never got to the promised land. What about during the Babylonian exile? When the Babylonians came and took a lot of them out and put them into captivity and kept them in exile for 70 years in punishment. Why? Because of idolatry and disobedience to God. They lost their homeland. They became slaves in a strange land for 70 years. What about you? All of these things were written for our own learning, so that we will not fall into the kind of problems that they found themselves. The book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, 15 to 21, you can read about that example. And Lot's wife. Lot's wife, God told Lot and his family to leave. But along the way, she looked back and she never had the opportunity to continue to journey. Have you been diligent as a Christian? You've walked many years. You just want to take a quick peek on the world. You may never have the chance to continue. It could be your last. We could find ourselves into trouble that we may never be able to clean out. Genesis 19:26. King David. King David was a king that the Bible described, God described as a man after his heart. But because of his disobedience and covetousness, he disobeyed God and God punished him. He received severe consequences. Even though God forgave him, but the consequence never left his lineage of just one crime. What about you? The things you commit today, your children will suffer it for the rest of your life. We have to be careful as Christians so that we don't lose our promise of peace, of joy, of comfort, of eternal rest which God has made for us. Let's quickly look at some people. What are the things that can make us lose our reward? Number one, pride. Pride led to the downfall of many, including Lucifer. The Bible told us in the book of Isaiah 14, 12 to 15, that it was because Lucifer exalted himself, and that is how he fell from glory, from grace. The same way, a lot of us are lost in pride. Pride blinds us from seeing our faults. Sometimes they keep showing you, but you can't just see it because pride already shadow you. And pride distances us from God. We find it difficult to pray because we felt we are too good, we are holy. What about King Nebuchadnezzar? King Nebuchadnezzar was punished and walked like animals in the jungle for many years because of his pride. Daniel chapter 4, 28-37. Another one is disobedience, a pitfall that can make us. Sometimes we feel we can disobey God. Somebody asked this morning, when can't we love? Is it appropriate? Is there a time that we cannot love? Maybe we can be excused. No, my brother. Disobedience to God's command often leads to negative consequences. An example is Saul. Saul the king. He lost his kingship. He lost his opportunity because of his disobedience. Another one is lack of faith. The Bible in the book of Hebrews 11, verse 6, he said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that he is. And the most interesting part is that last phrase. He said, and he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I advise you to look other translations and see how diligence was explained. Diligence means patience, meticulous, dot the I, cross the T. If we don't do that, we may never find God. Another pitfall is greed, materialism. The Bible told us that the love of money is the root of how many evils? All evil. We should never allow greed or our desire to own, to get, our desire for the things of this life to cloud our judgment of righteousness. The book of Matthew chapter 26, 14-15, talks about Judas Iscariot, how he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 19:16 talks about remember the popular rich, wrong ruler that went to Jesus and asked him, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And say, do this, do this. He said, I've done everything. He said, now. Because Jesus knows his heart. He said, sell all the things you have. And what does the Bible tell us? He said, he went home sorrowfully. What are the things that you have that you exalt so much than God? Is it your job? Is it your appearance? No, I can't look like an ordinary born again. I need to look like an uptown girl. So my brothers and sisters, we have to be careful. Another pitfall is fear. Fear. A lot of us could not do what is right because we are afraid. We are afraid of what people will say. We are afraid of losing. We are afraid of what might happen. Allowing fear to control our decisions can lead to missed blessings, can lead us to disobedience, can lead us to destruction. The Bible talks about Peter denying Jesus. I've made so much confession. Who can imagine? Follow the story of Jesus and the apostles. Peter has always been the right man. But he denied Jesus. You know why? He was afraid. What about you? We should never allow fear to cloud our minds of good judgment. Now, having seen all of these pitfalls, what shall we do? How can we avoid it? The first way to avoid it is being diligent. We cannot get to heaven by chance. We have to be meticulous. We have to be patient. We have to work at it. See how much investment that you put into your career. See how much work that you put in raising your children. How much you give to yourself so that you can win eternal life. How much effort have you put into it so that you can be a good ambassador for it? Wherever you find yourself, can you be a judge as a good ambassador of Jesus? We have to persevere. We have to be patient. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, he said, be not weary in well doing. Let's read it. Therefore, my beloved, stand fast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The book of Psalm chapter 27, I remember when we were small, we used to recite this psalm. If you read that psalm, there is a powerful, because that psalm is one of the strongest prayers that has ever been written. It's a psalm of courage and confidence. Psalm 27, the very last verse of that psalm. Book of Psalm 27. Yes. He said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How much waiting? What is the meaning of wait? Sister, what does it mean to wait? Hold on, right? Hold on. Jesus, God is telling us to hold on. You only need to wait a little longer, and the reward is sure and steadfast. practice. Another way what we can do is to seek help in prayer. A lot of us don't, we always think we are strong, but really, we are not. When we become vulnerable, we can get help. And that is the reason why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in what? In the spirit. We have to put ourselves in a position of someone who needs help. One way we can go about in saving ourselves from the pitfall that can make us lose our reward is to seek help in prayer. We need to give more in our prayer life. How much investment do we do into praying? Do we have personal prayer time? Do we seek help in prayer? God, I need it. I can't do it all alone. The name of Jesus, I will never forget. It's a psalm written in my daddy's office. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth unto him and is saved. These confessions are sure. We need to seek it at all costs. God, I need you. I need you. I need you to lead me through. I need you to guide me. See, my brothers and my sisters, you don't need to know the way. You don't need to know the way. There is an ancient proverb that in my language that when there is pure darkness and a child of God is walking and there is a pit, just before he enters into that pit, God will shine thunder, you know, lightning. And you say, oh, this is a pit. So we really don't need to worry about it. We just need to develop a culture of seeking help. God, I need you. Help me. Help me. If that is all you can say, I believe his help will come for us in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to seek knowledge. A lot of us think we know, but we don't know. We will have to seek knowledge. And knowledge is not something that will just enter into you. You have to consciously, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Study. He said, a workman. He didn't say an ordinary person. A workman. Some of these words have a lot of meaning. Needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. A lot of us have gone to school. We know how much we read. But how much of the word of God have we consumed? And when we call ourselves for classes like this, we still draw back. I bless God for the lessons that we share here every day. And I pray that we can put it in our life. But we have to seek knowledge.
Book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7. Let's read this. Proverbs 4 7. Proverbs 4 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you get in, get understanding.
You see, the wise man said, and in all you're getting, he said, get wisdom, get understanding. We have to seek knowledge so that we can avoid the pitfalls that will make us lose our eternal reward. In conclusion, let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 8, 35 to 39.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble of hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.
If you will permit me, I want us to read this after me. If you will permit me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Are we all reading? I know we have different translations, so you read it after me, because these words are very important. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Shall tribulation or
distress, or persecution,
or famine,
or nakedness,
or peril,
or sword,
as it is written,
for thy sake we are killed all day long.
We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors.
Through Him that loved us.
For I am persuaded that neither death,
shall be able to separate us from the love of God
that is in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you.